This over to the middle.
Let me know if I'm pulling anything. Good, good. All right, good morning. Today I'm going to be going through, well, continuing with the book of James. We're on chapter 3 now. James was a letter written by Jesus' half-brother, James, to lots of Jewish Christian communities around AD 50. The point of him writing these letters was actually, at that time, the Christians were getting scattered around everywhere. They were living in a little bit of fear, and especially the ones that James was talking to, they had just experienced Stephen. I don't know if you'd heard Stephen getting stoned to death. So at that point, they were all living afraid, but they didn't have their established churches yet. So James wrote this letter to them to kind of encourage them and to kind of give them a bit of guidance about how to live and how to be followers of Christ in such an environment. 2 weeks ago, Auntie started us on James chapter 1, where she talked about how to get through trials, how to get through challenges, and holding on to the fact that God knows best. God has knowledge and he has wisdom. And that we should seek his wisdom to try and get through any challenges we have. And then last week, the speaker went through James chapter 2, which was all about how do we act out our faith? That actually our beliefs are important, but actually in this scenario, our behaviour is even more important. That actually it doesn't matter what you believe, if you don't act it out, then it's useless. Then actually what you believe isn't really true. So actually really living out what you believe, and that is James chapter 2. And today I move on to James chapter 3. And actually, what you found out so far, James actually is one of my favourite books in the Bible. I mean, that guy has a great name. A great name that is meant for great things. And I love him because we find out that he really holds no punches. I don't know if you realise this. He's really good at telling people off. He's very good at telling them straight to the point what they need to know. And he gives them very clear and good examples to kind of illustrate his point. So he's very good at saying that. And James chapter 3, conveniently, is all about taming the tongue. Taming the tongue. Watching what we say. Of course, it's great being direct and straight to the point like James is, but how many of us have tried that and then end up causing a bit more harm than good when we try and say something to someone or we try and speak our mind? Suddenly, it doesn't work as well. James here gives us a few of tips as to how to do that. Because we live in a culture where actually there's two magic words that we say when we want to say something, but we don't want to really be held responsible for it. And that is, I'm just saying. You put something out there, just saying. And then hashtag for the social media is hashtag just say. I think so and so and so, I'm going to vent about this, just say. What's just saying really mean? Actually, in Chinese, we hear it a lot as well. You say something, and then someone maybe disagrees with you, or you realise that actually what you say isn't that good. They say, how many times have we heard that, or maybe we've said that? Somehow, those magic words cause us to feel as though we were exempt from any kind of responsibility. Actually, Bert said this before, especially in our Chinese culture, we're very, very bad at saying positive things. If you do something good, if you do something good at school or at work, and let's just go back to our childhood here, what is the thing that the parents will tell you? This is what Bert says, because he experienced this as well. He says, do your homework, yes, and then you do it, and then you get an A star, and then you take it back to your parents, and then they go, not bad. It's never good. It's just not bad. Don't you find that in our culture? It's very hard to say, that is really, really good. It's very hard. I mean, we're trying to raise Reuben up in a way where he gets encouraged. And so we try and encourage him. And now he's caught on to it. So one thing that we're trying to train with him is trying to poo, like, in a relaxed way, because he got very stressed about it, because he had to poo in this big, massive hole toilet, and he couldn't do it. And so every time he does do it now, we're like, yay, hole letter, oh yeah, that's great. And then now he'll be like, Papa gong, hole yeah, Papa gong. He'll be like, Daddy, tell me I'm doing well. And then it's really, really funny. But there's this idea that actually giving compliments or saying constructive feedback is what the other side is. And how do we find that balance? And today we're going to look a little bit into that. What we do know, though, is the tongue is powerful. The tongue is extremely, extremely powerful. And what we say is very important to how we develop a relationship with other people. Let's pray. Good morning, Father Lord. I thank you for just this chance for brothers and sisters to get together freely without the threat of danger. And Lord, we know that that is something to be grateful for. And Lord, I thank you for these brothers and sisters here who all share one belief. And we pray as we kind of explore your word into what it means to control what we say, Lord, that you can speak to us. You can speak to us into our hearts. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So James chapter 1, 3, verse 1. He starts off by talking about something supposedly slightly different. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. With greater strictness. I'm not going to go too much into this. This could be a whole different sermon right there. But what it does say here, actually, teachers. How do we teach? I am a teacher. Well, I was a teacher. I'm a teacher, and you use your mouth to teach. You use your mouth to teach. So, but in some ways, it's also implying that actually we should make sure we know what we're saying to the pupils. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, I'm not a school teacher. But actually, this could apply to anyone. If you teach someone something, if you're a parent that teaches a child, if you're a boss that teaches your workers, if you're a student teaching fellow peers, if you're teaching someone something and you're using your mouth, you'll be judged with a greater strictness, and we better check out what we're saying. I love it because at the moment, this is stuck right between chapter 2, which is actually we need to act out our faith, your actions. Faith without deeds is dead, number one. And then after this, we're going to be talking about taming the tongue. So actually, for teachers, you'll be judged with your actions and also what you say. And there'll be both sides of it. As adults or as teachers, sometimes we say, do as I say, not as I do. Do as I say, not as I do. Okay? So listen to me, what I've got to tell you to do, but just don't follow what I'm doing. Okay? We see that a lot. Ruben seems just to be 100% of my life right now. I'm eating something spicy, like spicy dried cuttlefish, and he really wants to eat it. But I'm like, no, this is bad for you. Or chocolate, this is bad for you, whilst I'm eating it myself. Like, do as I say for you, but I'm going to do a separate thing. So we end up hiding in the kitchen and eating our own snacks. But there is that idea of actually, are we following through with what we're saying? Verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If anyone does not stumble in what he says. So here he really homes in on the fact that if you can control your tongue, if you can control what you say, you will be in control of your whole body. Jesus says, for what comes out the mouth proceeds from the heart. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. So actually what you say may just be hashtag just saying, but actually it is a real true reflection of what is in your heart at that moment. If you're able to control your mouth, but actually your heart, you'll be able to control your whole body. And here he goes into typical James fashion with three examples, three analogies. He uses a horse and bridle, a ship and a rudder, and the forest and the fire. We're going to go through each one just to get a quick point from them, and then we'll see where we go from there. The first one, verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Controlling the horse using the bridle. So my first point in terms of taming the tongue is to hold back. Just like a bridle holds back a horse, I think our first thought when we talk should be to hold back. How many times have there been where we, in the heat of the moment, without thinking, just say it? You just say it whether it's something just casual or whether you're in an argument, right? And then when your blood boils and you feel hot, and then someone says something to you, and then you suddenly think something to say back, and without thinking, you just say it. Because at that moment, you don't care. There's no filter. And then you just say it. But I think the first thing that we need to think about is to hold back. In chapter 1, in James, it says, we should all be slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen. It's always good to hold back and take a moment to pause. Slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen. That is should always be our first choice first, to hold back. And then, if you decide that you have something to say, then you start to speak in truth and in love. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he tells them in chapter 4 in Ephesians to speak the truth in love. To speak the truth in love. And later in Ephesians chapter 4, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbour. Speak the truth. Again, in that heat of the moment, how many times do we say things that aren't true? Maybe that's in an argument. We just say it because that's what it is. Or maybe just a bit of gossip. We don't know whether it's true or not, but we heard it from somewhere. I heard it from somewhere. I'm just saying, this is what I heard. Take it or leave it. How many times do we think or say that? But Paul says to speak in truth and to speak in love. So I guess the first tip when we're holding back is, if you feel as though you have something to say, the first thing to do is, one, consider, are we the right person to say it to that person? Because sometimes there are people that need a talking to. Sometimes people do need telling off. We all need telling off at some point as well. But if we want to be the one that said, oh, I'm going to set him straight, I'm going to tell him what he needs to hear. First question is, are we the right person to do it? Hold back. Are we the right person to do it? Second thought, are we going to be telling them the complete truth about themselves, or are we actually carrying our own bias and our own insecurities and our own pride into this conversation? Hold back, evaluate. What are your motives for telling that person that thing? And thirdly, why are you saying it? Is it out of love, or is it to try and show that person his place or her place and try and put them down? Why are you saying the things that you're saying? Taming the tongue first requires us to hold back, just like a horse is held back. Again, in Ephesians, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I love that. We need to speak to build up. We're not there to break down. Again, I think it's ingrained in our culture to break someone down, to kind of show them who's boss. But when we speak to them in any format, it should be to build up. And it's interesting, as fits the occasion, which means there's a time and place for things to say things. Sometimes we're like, I don't care, I'm just going to say it. That's actually us just being lazy, isn't it? We don't want to think about the repercussions or the consequences, we just want to say it. But actually, it's our responsibility to choose the right occasion and choose the right time to do it. I come from a family that actually doesn't argue very much, because what we do is we just do the silent thing. Just so, like, my mum, and actually I have inherited this as well. If I'm unhappy, I was like, and then I'll just walk off and I'll do my own thing. And then it doesn't last for that long. But what happens is, and I personally would say that I choose this over the other one, which is like, as soon as you have an argument, and then there's just too much collateral damage. Whereas what we do, we hold it back, and then we don't talk about it for maybe a couple of hours, and then we put the kettle on, have a cup of tea, and then my mum, who's very good at this, and actually my dad was as well, they just calmly bring the situation back in, like, oh, actually, earlier, what did you think of that? What was the reason why you were doing this? That kind of stuff. Whereas actually, sometimes when you're tired, all you want to do is, as soon as someone does something wrong, you just want to go straight at them. Hold back. The second example was the example of a ship. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. It's amazing how such a large ship is controlled by a very small rudder underneath the water. Such a large ship that can cause so much damage is controlled by the single thing. For us, that is our hearts. If you've successfully held back, you then need to decide how to take this conversation forward. The rudder or your heart is the one that's going to lead you into directing this conversation forward to a place that is good, to a place where it builds up. How good are we controlling what we say? And actually, when we speak, do we speak with intention? When you ask someone, how are you doing? Is it just, how are you doing? And then you walk straight off. Or is it actually, how are you doing? Is there something that I can help you with? Is there something that we can talk about? I'm genuinely interested in you. I genuinely care for you. Let's be full of intention when we talk to people, rather than just scattering and just throwing out random comments here and there. Let's really be purposeful. Actually, if you really want to think, if you've been thinking about someone and you see them, talk to them and see if there is anything in their lives that you could contribute to. Let's be full of intention, because if we are clumsy with our words, without any intention, just like a boat that's going in the wrong direction, it could cause collateral damage. It could be leading to destruction. And which leads us to the final one. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Actually, after this, in verse 8, it says, the tongue, it is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. If we don't control what we say, if we don't direct it forward in a good way, we end up destroying all the people around us, simply by what we say. In Proverbs, it says, death and life are found in the power of the tongue. Whatever you say, you have that potential to build up or break down. It is literally a weapon. How controlled are you in using that weapon? I've seen this happen so much when I speak to young people, I speak to pupils, or when I go to camps. So many pupils have grown up without any compliment or any good feedback from their parents. And what happens then is they never feel as though they're able to do anything. They never have any confidence. They're always insecure. They were never encouraged to pursue the things that they wanted to do, only ever told, that's bad, you should do this. And if anything, not bad. They never get pushed to the other side, which is good. Wow, you're really good at that. As a teacher at parents' evening, I see this a lot. There's different types of pupils. So I sit down, the parents sit down with their kids and I say, your son's done really well. He actually got 92% in his last test. There's different parents that respond in different ways. There'll be some parents like, 92%, that is so good. Well done. But I kid you not, there are other parents that will sit there with a straight face. Why didn't he get that 8%? Now, you are Chinese, so you probably understand what I'm saying. This does happen more in the more Asian culture. And then the kid's head just sinks. Because a class, I'll tell him, wow, that's really good. But when his parents hear it, they just go, why isn't he getting that 8%? I don't understand. Was it a hard test? And the kid's heart just sinks. And suddenly, even though he did something good, it still isn't good enough. And this isn't just a parent-child relationship. This is through your friends, through everyone. Are we encouraging each other? Are we speaking the truth in love? Now, there are the other ones. I tell them, yeah, your kid got 47%. Oh, that's nearly halfway. Well done. Well done. And then I'm like, but actually, that's not true either. Because that was rubbish. Your kid needs to work harder. He's lazy. So it's speaking the truth and in love. Speaking the truth and in love. So those are the three examples. The horse, the ship, and the forest fire that goes out of control if we don't hold back. But what about us specifically as believers, specifically as Christians? How are we called to control our tongues, and what are we supposed to say? Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And after this, he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the ones that give flavor to the people around you in the conversations that you have. So actually here, When we enter conversations into our workplaces, into our friends, and all they're doing is gossiping and moaning about left, right, and center about everything, we are the ones that are supposed to shine a light on the situation and to also give it flavor. Instead of walking and joining in with our conversation with a cloud of negativity around us, we're supposed to be the light to shine onto it, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. How do they see our good works? One, they see what James chapter 2 said in the way we act. It's James chapter 3 in the way we talk. If they see all these things, like, oh, actually, so-and-so is a really positive person. She's a really nice person to be around. She encourages. She doesn't join in with the gossip. She doesn't try and bring other people down, but she tries to encourage. He tries to say good things. Are we that light on the hill, or are we hiding under the basket? James chapter 3 carries on. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. James here really holds no punches now. He says, look, you guys, I don't know if it was a Sunday morning where you guys are singing praise, you are encouraging each other, praying to each other on a Sunday, but on Monday you are speaking slanderously to other people. You are swearing, you are complaining. You can't have the two things coming out of the same mouth. These things ought not to be so. He carries on to give another example on this issue. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Okay, so he uses the salt term a little bit differently to how Jesus used it when he was saying that we were salt of the earth. Here it's talking about in a negative way. You can't have both things together. We have to be either or. We have to be either or. Are we the ones with the fresh water that give out really encouraging things, that back up the songs that we sing on Sunday, the prayers that we share with each other? Or are we simply living this two-faced lie that actually just shows what's in our hearts? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. A good tree will produce its own good fruit. A good tree will produce its own good fruit. A good heart and soul will produce good words. If your heart and soul are good, you will produce good words. I see and I speak to a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm just saying it, so it's okay, I'm fine, and then carry on complaining about other things. But actually, that shows that inside you're not happy yet, you're not at peace. The Spirit of God isn't fully being allowed to work, because at the moment, the things that you're saying reflect that. Growing up, you always hear the term, oh, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a book by its cover, or don't judge just from what the words he says. Oh, just don't judge him for the way he talks or the way she talks. That's just the way they are. My dad would always say then, true, but how they talk, how they act, how they look tells you a little bit about what's inside their heart. It tells you a little bit about what they're like inside. Yes, don't judge a book by its cover, but you can get a good idea of what they are like. Same with us. If someone was to hear what we do or what we say, what would they think? What will they think? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure will bring forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What I found then, what we say is an immediate reflection of our spiritual condition. If someone was to script down everything that we say, they would get a good idea of what our spiritual status is like. What we say. Even though you think it's easy to hide what's in your heart, or I won't let people really see what is in my heart, but actually, just from the words you say, we can get a good idea of each other. And actually, I don't know if you are, but I'm pretty scared about this verse, because it says, you'll give account for every careless word they speak. Every careless word. I've had my fair share of careless words through any scenario. Arguments, just casual comments, gossip. For every careless word they speak. Now, of course, he's not going to literally have a document printed of every single word that you've said. Because it just says at the beginning, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This simply just reinforces we have a creator, we have a God who loves us, who sees straight into our hearts. Straight into our hearts. So for us, it's really letting go of that and opening up our hearts and asking him to cleanse us. But before we go home feeling completely guilty and think, oh my goodness, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to be asked about all these words that I've said, we can still be encouraged. Because even though if God was just to look straight down at us and judge us because we've said and done so many bad things, we as believers live in a new, have a new status. Because now God isn't just looking straight at us, he's looking at us through the lens of Jesus. He looks at us, and yes, he sees those things, but as soon as he puts the Jesus filter in the middle, suddenly it looks better. We have to embrace Jesus, who's come to die for our sins, and let the blood that he let out be the one that washes ourselves from the inside out. We no longer need to be afraid of every careless word that we've said or every horrible thing that we've done, because God has forgiven us because of the lens that Jesus has put in front of us. But we have to embrace that. We can't just say, that's brilliant. Jesus, you just keep covering me up, just put a shield. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And when we get to God, you just still stand in front of me. That's not how it works. We have to embrace Jesus and walk with him every day. And what we realize, actually, if we let Jesus into our hearts and what comes out of our mouth is from our hearts, then actually Jesus will be the one that is coming out of our hearts. The Holy Spirit will be the one that really urges to speak and urges and teaches what to say, when to say, how to say it. It is the Spirit that will guide us then. Of course, as Christians or as little Christians, our whole point is to follow Jesus in the way he lived. So I guess for this topic, the question will be, how did Jesus talk? How did Jesus talk? And of course, as it says in the scriptures, there wasn't enough space to put everything that Jesus did and said. So we only really have the verses that are involved in the Bible. But from those, again, you can get a good idea of what he was like. And I think the one word that really comes out to me when we're trying to see what Jesus was like was the word integrity. Integrity, which actually, different people have different interpretations of this word. But for me, integrity means, again, in a weirdly descriptive way, he is wholly the same in every scenario. He is full of integrity, so he doesn't change from one place to another. He doesn't change the way he is. He's full of integrity. Nothing changes him. He is very secure in who he is. And actually, if you watch Jesus talking to the Pharisees, talking to the Gentiles, talking to the Sadducees, talking to even Paul, he is full of integrity. Do we talk with integrity? Are we the same in every situation? Do we speak truthfully and lovingly? Of course, Jesus wasn't just all lovey-dovey. He would tell people off when he needed to. But again, he said it in a way that was full of truth and full of love. And in that sense, he didn't need to apologize for those things. But when we talk and when we tell people off, are we in the same way? Or is there something that we can change to improve that? He was the epitome of speaking the truth in love. So maybe instead of those wristbands that say, what would Jesus do? On the most part, in our everyday lives, the question we should ask is, what would Jesus say? Especially when it comes to when we need to speak to that person, but I don't know what to say to them. The question is, what would Jesus say to them? How would Jesus talk to them? If you've got that boss at work who's really, really horrible to you, what would Jesus say to him? And my last slide, just to finish on, just to reflect, is how do we talk? If someone was to literally script out everything that we've said now, what would it be like? And then we ask someone else to kind of analyze that script and describe that person that you are, what would you be like? How do we talk, and how does it reflect our spiritual condition? What do we usually say? So think about your friends now. If they were asked to describe you and the things that you'd say, the mannerisms that you have, what would they be? How do we talk? I put a picture of a car in the background because I came across this because my own car is making some strange noises. Every time I go past 70 miles per hour, it suddenly gets really, really loud. So that's not healthy. But then what you realise is actually, when you look at a car and you turn it on, as soon as you hear like a noisy sound, you know something's wrong. Yeah? You know something's wrong with the car. Then you need to take it to the garage. What kind of car are you? When people hear what you say, does it sound wrong? Does it sound bad? Does it show that something inside you is bad? Or are you a smooth running car that is full of truth and love? What kind of car are you? I mean, when I turn my engine on, mine's a diesel, it's really like vroom, which is normal, which is okay. But if your car is normally quiet and suddenly it did that, the sound that car makes reflects what's inside, that maybe there is something wrong. So if someone was to evaluate what comes out of our mouths, would the diagnosis be something is wrong inside? That's a question that I really want to leave you with. Now, if you're sitting here thinking, okay, my car engine is completely in pain, there's too much noise, everything that I say usually is bad, I can't help but say bad things, then this is the moment to really spend some time in prayer. To really ask Jesus and to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and say, actually, I do need fixing. What comes out of my mouth is a reflection of what I'm feeling inside my heart. I urge you to really think about this, to really reflect on the words that are coming out, because that is always the first point of contact that anyone sees when they hear you speak. What are you like? Because that out of the mouth tells us what is inside the heart. And we have to really ask God to help cleanse us from the inside out. And actually, when the words pour out, it is fresh water. It is full of the Spirit's love. And if it's not, we need to get that car checked out. We need to make sure that whatever that thing that is causing that noise to come out is dealt with and gone. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come back up now. And if you just join me in a word of prayer. Father, as we spend some time now just really reflecting on ourselves. And as the psalmist says, Lord, just search our hearts. Know our anxious thoughts. Test us and see if there's any offensive way in us. Lord, we come to you and we want to ask you, are our engines noisy? Is there something inside that's causing a problem that is reflected in the way we speak? Lord, we acknowledge and accept that the tongue is a powerful, powerful tool that can bring death or life. And Lord, we choose life. So I guess this really isn't so much about what we say, but it's about what is in our hearts. So Holy Spirit, would you really come into our hearts now? cleanses of the things that hold us back. And in your name, we can be free to love, free to talk, free to act in the way that you would have done if you were here. So let's just spend a few moments now to really think about the words that we've said or the words that we're saying. Maybe there's people that we've spoken to in the past that we've hurt. Maybe we've unknowingly put chains on them through the words that we've said. Or maybe people have spoken to you in a not so nice way. That is not true and not out of love. And because of that, there are chains in your heart. Now you may say that those chains that other people have put there aren't your problem, they weren't your fault. But actually, if it's causing your car engine to run in a not so good way, then it is your responsibility to try and take that to God to help him, for him to help you get rid of it. Let's just spend some time now. I'll pass it to the worship team.